Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast, but wait a minute, we're not at the Business Cast Podcast Center. We are at the Canadian Crowdfunding Summit at the Mars Discovery District in downtown Toronto. I'm Robert Gold, managing partner of Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants in Toronto. Today, we are on the ground at the summit, Crowdfunding Summit 2016. We'll be speaking to the presenters as they finish their speeches, their seminars, their presentations, and capturing the thoughts from the movers and shakers of the crowdfunding movement in Canada. Are you ready? Let's get started. Joining me now is Craig Asano. Craig is the founder and the CEO of the National Crowdfunding Association of Canada. Craig, I'm excited to be at Crowdfunding Summit 2016. What is your big expectation? What's the takeaway for your attendees?
Well, we're just kicking off the summit and the conference here at Mars today. Today's March 3rd. The biggest takeaway is that the future of crowdfunding is now. It's an electric room and it's an exciting time of the year to be talking about crowdfunding. We've got 9 months ahead of us. We think that from real estate to online lending marketplaces to the new regulations with 45108 coming out to the market recently announced in January 25th and the support of very high profile folks like the Ontario Finance Minister, Charles Souza, that collectively together we can set the stage for educating really what the opportunities are here in crowdfunding markets that are emerging.
Well, I was at the VIP reception last night. The last time I was at a room filled with so much buzz was when the internet boom was happening. I've not seen so many people talking innovation, creative financing in a long time. You must be very excited.
Well, I was there, of course, as well with you at the VIP networking. Yeah, it's really exciting because everybody is a builder. Everybody believes feverishly in the opportunities that crowdfunding and fintech and alt-fi markets are providing. And so there's thinkers, there's entrepreneurs, there's investors coming together to make things happen.
Well, Craig, you are one of the movers and shakers. Great job. Good luck at the show today and at the conference.
Thank you very much. Appreciate having us.
Joining me now is Bill Morrow. Bill is the founder and CEO of Angel's Den in the UK. Bill just spoke about what does it take for crowdfunding to succeed in a country. Bill, one question for you. What are the three things you want the attendees at your event, your presentation, to take away from the things you had to say?
Thank you for the opportunity, Robert. It's utterly about not just taking the money at any price as an entrepreneur. You have the option of taking the money from somebody who's going to add a lot of value, who's going to introduce their business contacts, who also knows exactly what to do it down the next stage, or take the money right here, right now, and spend it and fritter it. You've got the choice between being in business in 2 to 3 years' time or being out of business quite soon.
So there's a lot of buzz in the room around this whole crowdfunding thing, especially in Ontario now. Being from the UK, where this has been going on for a little while, what do you see as similarities? What do you see as differences? What's the key thing that we can learn from your experience there?
I think the key thing to learn is that it looks really simple, and it's not. I think with any really simple business model, it's more complicated than you actually think. So for instance, the angels also have to be educated. It's not sufficient to assume that just because they're rich, they're necessarily going to be able to add value to the shareholders' agreement. They're going to understand the down rounds. They're going to understand how to value a business. I made my money in pharmacy. I actually don't understand that. For Canada to actually be able to progress, you kind of need to have an education program for both entrepreneurs. Canada's really good at that, but for the angels as well.
I think that's a great point. Education around crowdfunding is key. Do you think that this summit is going to do that job?
I think Craig and the guys here are doing an amazing job in terms of getting together. I mean, I do a lot of conference speaking. I attend a lot of crowdfunding conferences across the world. This rocks. It really, really does. My one criticism is there's too much value that the guys are adding. That sounds a bit sycophantic, but there's just so much. And it's actually really quite difficult to disseminate the nuggets from the other information that's out there. You know, I think entrepreneurs will pick up the information that they need from the conference, and investors are free to pick and choose what they want to do. But in totality, Canada is now a pivotal time. Canada actually needs to decide whether or not it's just going to throw money at deals and see what happens, or take a slightly longer time to actually do the deal and make sure that they end up with a sustainable ecosystem of deals that survive, create jobs, and pay taxes.
And that's the whole key, to grow the economy. Bill Morrow, Angels Den, UK. Thank you, Bill, for joining us.
Cheers, Robert. That's brilliant. Thank you.
Joining me now is Amy Cortez. Amy is the founder and editor of Loca Vesting. Amy just spoke about diversity and crowdfunding, unlocking exponential value. Amy, what are the three things you want the attendees of your presentation to take away from things you had to say today?
The three things, well, firstly would be to be aware that, like many things, the crowdfunding industry is actually very non-diverse at the moment, and it's brand new, and I hope that will change. However, I'm always looking for examples of crowdfunding in disadvantaged communities, minority populations, and they're actually pretty hard to find, especially in the equity crowdfunding space. The second thing is crowdfunding has this great potential to rewrite the rules, right? We already know that the established financial system, whether it's Wall Street or banks or Silicon Valley venture capital, that capital is not reaching a lot of these populations neither. Rural entrepreneurs, often the LGBT community, social entrepreneurs, a lot of times these entrepreneurs are not getting the capital they need either because they don't fit the mold or they're just underserved by the current financial system. So this is our great opportunity with crowdfunding to break down some of those barriers, rewrite the rules, and by allowing entrepreneurs to reach out to their own communities and their peers, we're bypassing those systems that have systematically marginalized them. So it's this dichotomy, right? Great opportunity, but we're not quite there yet. The third thing I would say is for everyone in the crowdfunding industry to be more aware of this. And I think we need to be more creative about solutions here. So for example, right now, crowdfunding, especially equity crowdfunding, tends to be among privileged people, investing in other fairly privileged people. So how do we bring that into less advantaged communities? And in the U.S., some of the early attempts at African-American crowdfunding platforms have struggled. And I think the reason is that the capital and the wealth is not there in the community to fully participate as investors. So do we need new models? Maybe we need stakeholders to step up in a community, whether that's foundations or banks or a locally based corporation that can come in and match funds raised by the community in order to amplify the value of that. And we've seen that working a little bit in Detroit. I think that's a very promising model. I think we just need to be more aware of how do we get the message of crowdfunding out? How do we make sure that it works for all entrepreneurs and really reaches its full potential, which is unleashing innovation and creativity and really creating economic opportunity for everyone.
Now, I really appreciate your input and your insights to Canada from the U.S. We spoke to Bill Morrow earlier, who's from the U.K. What are your hopes and expectations now that this kind of landscape has evolved here in Canada and locally here in Ontario?
Well, in the U.S., we're always looking up to Canada, literally as well as figuratively, because I think you seem to do a lot of things right here and have been sort of ahead in many ways in impact investing and just this general broader sense of values that is brought to bear in a lot of things. So I have great hopes for Canada to really push the envelope on some of this. I'm aware of what Mars is doing with SVX. I think that's a brilliant start. So yeah, we'll be keeping tabs on it. And I hope the U.S. also steps up its game, but we can all learn from each other.
Yes, we can. Amy, thank you for your insights.
You're very welcome.
With me now is Michael Hyatt, Blue Cat Networks, also next den gen of the Dragon's Den. Michael, we're at the Canadian Crowdfunding Summit 2016. What are your expectations, and I'll even go so far as say hopes and dreams for crowdfunding in Canada, and in particularly in Ontario with the new regs we have?
Anybody can start a business, but the bad thing is anybody can start a business. So I think a great business 20 years ago, even 100 years ago, fundamentally is the same. And I think that maybe there's sometimes a little too much exuberance and how easy it would be to just to start a company with your friends and get it going. Listen, at the end of the day, great businesses show great value to clients and are something they really, really need. And I try to get past all the hype and I try to look at the market, but I really try to spend time when I look at maybe investing in an early stage company at the founders, because I truly believe that these companies will all hit massive problems, and that's normal because they should. And a lot of these people are inexperienced, but that's okay because they should be. But I'm trying to figure out, can they pivot? Can they get out of a problem? Can they take their company where it's supposed to go? You'd be surprised to hear that so many of the most successful companies in the world started off something completely different and pivoted. So I look at these people, do I like their market, and do I think they can make it, and do I think they can pivot? when one of the founders leaves, or they lose funding, or something else happens. Because inevitably it does. And I also try to figure out, are you in it for the long run? I think all great companies, you have to have a mindset that I'm in this thing for a decade, not for 5 minutes, and I'm not going to sell to Google next year. I'm in it because I want to build a great business.
So what does it take to pivot and pivot efficiently and successfully?
It takes a tremendous amount of hubris, and what I find is egos kill most companies. You have to know when to shut up and listen and figure out where you don't lead a company by ego. We're seeing, factually, these unicorn companies die generally because they raise tremendous amounts and they're probably driven by a little too much ego about the valuation number and not about the value of that to bringing clients. And I really, really think that when you go back to the book Good to Great by Jim Collins, you look at the greatest leaders were not charismatic people. They were people that were actually quite introverted and people that actually listened. And the level five leaders that could give up authority and give up responsibility to other A players. I look at companies and wonder, does everything have to go through the founder or can they give up authority? And sometimes founders shouldn't actually run the company. At some point when it gets bigger, they should shift over and allow a professional operator to come on in to make all the shareholders more money. And do you have the ego to say what's best for the company or what's not? I do think that founders can be taught and they can be great leaders, but I think that founders have to figure a way, well, what's best for the shareholders and how do they build great value?
And final thought on crowdfunding.
Listen, I think crowdfunding is a wave of its own. I think crowdfunding for some things makes a lot of sense, and for other things, I don't get it. I think crowdfunding for real estate sounds like a good opportunity to me as an investor. I think crowdfunding for a tech company, I'm a little bit skeptical. I see a lot of companies raise millions of dollars for a really great product, but what I'll tell those companies, just because you raise $2-3 million on a cool product on GoFundMe or something, there's a big difference between raising that money and then shipping that product and then getting acceptance. It's not like flying from Toronto to Montreal. It's like flying from Toronto to Vancouver. It's a really big difference. It's an efficient way to get your company going, but you have to deliver. So I'm a bit of a wait and see, but I think this wave's not going away. And I think it is going to be important, but I think like everything else, this will be played out and it'll get more efficient and we're going to figure out where it plays best.
Michael Hyatt, thank you for your comments. Joining me now is Peter Paul Van Hoeken. Peter Paul is the CEO of FrontFunder. Peter Paul, you just gave a presentation on how equity crowdfunding will change private and public markets forever. What do you expect the attendees of your presentation to take away from your talk?
The first thing is that crowdfunding is hyping. It's where everybody's excited about it. It is taking off. We're talking about investment crowdfunding here, so investing in companies. The takeaway one here is it's part of a much bigger thing. This is not just about crowdfunding and going to the crowds. This is about investing in companies for everyone and taking the private capital markets online. So there's a much bigger thing going on where it's not just limited to startups looking for capital, but we will see regular investors who invest in debt products or invest in real estate, in different kind of projects. So they will have an opportunity to truly participate in different asset classes. Secondly, if you look at the continuum, the funding cycle from a company growing and going through the cycle and going public, that there's a lot of discussion and controversy about it. Like, is that the right path? What is the right time for a company to go public? So the second takeaway is investment crowdfunding is changing the funding cycle. It will create companies that in a much earlier stage in their development may end up with hundreds of shareholders. So these shareholders are going to ask about, okay, I'm stuck with these shares, there's no liquidity. So it will create a demand for companies. So how can I provide that liquidity? And it's potentially to go to a venture exchange like the TSXV, for example. So the second message that I want to give her is like, it will impact from the funding cycle and will bring new companies to the TSXV. The third takeaway will be that it's a process. It's going to take time. We've seen that in other markets as well. It's not an overnight evolution. It will take years before people really get comfortable with online investing in companies and people that they may not know, have never met.
So you and I spoke briefly yesterday about the differences in Ontario in particular between equity crowdfunding and the OM exemption, the offering memorandum exemption. Now, we've spoken to a lot of people in this field that feel that equity crowdfunding is too highly regulated, the compliance costs are too high in Ontario, and I think you come at it from a different perspective. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, I can't deny that. We have rules across Canada now in place, so that's progress. That's great. But we have differentiated rules. So across Canada, we have three different crowdfunding rules. There's a fourth one contemplated by Alberta. So we have four different crowdfunding rules. For young companies looking to raise capital across Canada, having to deal with all these different rules is not ideal, far from. So it drives up capital raising costs for these companies. That's the first threshold. Secondly, it's indeed driven by regulation and compliance. So it drives up costs for not only the issuers, but also for platforms like ourselves to make it happen for these companies. So I am positive about the step forward. I think the regulators try to balance the opportunity for companies to raise money from a larger group of investors, and at the same time they want to protect investor interests. It's a good start, but so this is only the beginning, and I hope the regulators also realize that this needs to evolve and needs to become more harmonized in order to make it more efficient for these companies to raise capital across Canada. And what Canada really needs, if we look at diversifying Canada, we want to be resourcefulness, right? So resourcefulness is i.e. diversifying our economy, building new companies that are in the tech industry, that use where we have smart people coming with new inventions, and building those kind of companies. You need to enable those companies to attract capital, because otherwise they're going elsewhere. So I think that process needs to be accelerated for sure.
Couldn't agree more. Peter Paul Van Hoeken, front funder, very successful portal. Well done on that, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
I'm joined now by Daniel Bloomer. Daniel is the CEO and co-founder of Revolt Technologies, Inc. Daniel, you just gave a presentation. It was a fireside chat with crowdfunding rock stars. It was most impressive. What I'd like to know is, what are the three things you want the attendees at your panel to take away from today's talk?
The first is that crowdfunding is not easy. Kickstarter is a challenge. There's a lot of due diligence, and creating credibility is essential to a successful campaign. And none of those are in a specific order. What I did was I reached out to as many people that have done campaigns in the past to get valuable information on the do's and don'ts of their campaigns, to learn from them and create our own. So essentially taking templates of others and doing them ourselves. That I thought was so valuable, because as much as I thought I was prepared for a campaign, only once I spoke to those other people did I realize that there's so much more that needs to be done.
Now, what about equity crowdfunding? You did Kickstarter, you gave away products, you raised a ton of dough. Have you considered equity crowdfunding? Would you go there for the next round?
I think equity crowdfunding is for sure a big part of the future. There's a space for it. There's a demand. I think it's very intriguing for the general public to be able to invest in a startup company like our own. Typically, they don't have that opportunity. Do I see that in our future? I honestly have no idea right now. It's definitely something to consider. It's real. It's credible now, whereas it wasn't as much in the past.
Now, your product, I'd like you to describe it to us, because you've received rave reviews for this thing. Let's talk about it. And what was the one lesson you learned when developing this product?
For us, the reason we created this product was because we would continuously talk to consumers about earphones. And the first thing they tell you is, ugh, I hate them. They're uncomfortable. They don't fit well. They fall out of my ears. And they're looking for a solution to that. For us, our core technology is essentially the answer to that problem. It allows you to have a custom fit solution that fits perfectly. And so throughout the 2 years, journey that we've had so far of creating these earphones, the intent was always to optimize the comfort and fit and sound quality that goes into these custom earphones.
Now impress us. How much were you looking for, and how much did you raise on Kickstarter?
We were asking $100,000. We ended up raising $2,537,000 US dollars. And at the time, with the Canadian dollar the way it is, it's amazing. And since then, we've actually raised an additional $100,000 on Indiegogo in-demand pre-sales.
Well done. Daniel, thank you so much for your insight.
Thank you so much.
I'm with Jason Saltzman. Jason is a partner, Dentons Canada LLP, amazing law firm in the space. Jason was just on a panel called Regulatory Perspectives, What to Expect in 2016. Jason, sum it up. What are the trends that we can expect now in this area, equity and OM exemption crowdfunding in Ontario and Canada in the next year or two?
Robert, thanks so much. I'm very excited to be speaking to you today. This is a tremendous time. In year one of this program, we've seen many new entrants into the marketplace. We've been helping all kinds of portal operators get set up, get established, and now we're in year two. We have visibility from the regulators. All the new exemptions have been created and they're available. So now we're into the deal execution phase, and that's really exciting because that's what this is all about. Companies can go ahead and offer their securities online. The exemptions exist. The whole ecosystem is set up. The technology is there. Now we can get the deals done. We've seen many portals get set up along industry segments. We've seen them in mining. We've seen them in real estate. We've seen them in high tech. We've seen them in life sciences. We've even seen them in cannabis. This is all very exciting. We're keeping our eyes on it. Of course, Robert, you also mentioned the lending, and there are a tremendous number of lending platforms that are being set up and that are operating already. It's a great time.
So we get to see a lot of new business, a lot of innovation, a lot of new creative financing. We keep hearing about fintech. Fintech and medtech are all the new buzzwords. It's 2001 all over again. It's a whole new internet. There's lots of buzz in the room. But is there an overriding trend that you observe around the world, the UK, the US, something we've yet to see here?
FinTech is an incredibly exciting sector. Anything that disrupts the existing way of delivering financial services, whether it be loans, selling securities, insurance, it's all available now. We have the big institutions looking very closely at the space. They want to get in it. We're seeing the big institutions where they traditionally might have ignored the small startups in the FinTech space. Now they need it and they want to be a part of it. It's a very exciting time.
Well, it's not only exciting, but it's an opportunity to breed real innovation. Now, you're acting for a number of the portals, you're acting for a number of the entrepreneurs that are actually going through the compliance and the regulatory regimes to get themselves going. Are you seeing any trends in innovation, any types of companies outside of lending portals, real estate, something new that is groundbreaking that we've not seen yet come to this market?
I see many things in the course of my practice and being heavily involved in the space. Many entrepreneurs are coming to me with their ideas, and each and every one of them impress me. It seems like the next idea is more impressive than the one before. I'm seeing things that involve a mobile component. I'm seeing things that involve not just a traditional securities offering, but blending some type of service or some other offering.
Jason, final thought on this crowdfunding summit.
It's absolutely fabulous. There are about 700 people in the room, tremendous quality and caliber of people. There's so much interest and so much excitement about this. When the panel of regulators and lawyers can go on right before lunch and everybody seems fully engaged, that's a good sign.
That is a good sign. Jason Saltzman, partner, Dentons Canada LLP. Thanks for your insight, Jason.
My pleasure. Thank you, Rob.
I'm with Buck Young. Buck is the co-founder and operations manager and general spokesperson, Cantex. C-A-N-N-T-X, Cantex Life Sciences, Inc. What is Cantex and what do you hope to gain from attending Crowdfunding Summit 2016?
Cantex Life Science is a biopharmaceutical manufacturer making active pharmaceutical ingredients derived from cannabis. What we're hoping to do here is leverage these new rules to fill a gap between our friends and family, angel round investment, and shoring ourselves up prior to seeking the VC money.
Do you feel that crowdfunding has a unique offering, a niche play for you in particular and for your entity in particular?
Certainly our industry is pretty sexy. It's getting a lot of traction right now. And if you look at how the retail market has been able to participate, the publicly traded companies are not yielding a reasonable ROI. It's a lot of speculative value on those IPOs, and then the share prices have dropped. We think this is a great way to get your average Canadian in on the ground floor.
So when you say average Canadian, it sounds to me like you're actually talking about the equity crowdfunding exemption as opposed to the more popular, it seems to me, after speaking to people, OM or the offering memorandum exemption. Which route are you looking to go?
I think we need to do both. Because of the cap on the equity crowdfunding, it's just not enough to meet our needs, but it can get us to an inflection point. And then the OM, we have some support in terms of our ask.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because more and more people are tending towards the OM in Ontario. I happen to think that the equity crowdfunding exemption is really the way to get the average investor in, of course. And it's where the sexy story is. It's where the public is kind of gnawing at the bit to get involved here.
The challenge for us is that as a research and development oriented enterprise, the message can be complicated. And our challenge will be to really simplify that and condense it.
And attending here, what is your goal and your aim? What do you really hope to accomplish?
Well, certainly we're here to network. I mean, we've done our research, but interviewing some of the platforms out there, seeing which ones have the best exposure for us is a big part of what we're here to do.
Well, Buck, I hope to follow up with you afterwards. I think you'll be wildly successful, and this is the place to come. Thank you for your thoughts.
Thank you very much.
I'm with Daryl Hatton. Daryl is the founder and CEO of Fundraiser, Fund, R-A-Z-R, crowdfund anything, anywhere. Daryl, you were on a panel talking about trends, the excitement that's happening at crowdfunding. As a panelist, as an entrepreneur, as somebody involved in this industry for a while now, what do you think are the big takeaways that attendees will get from this crowdfunding summit?
One of the things I really hope that they're going to take away from this is just how much crowdfunding is here. It's not a future thing. It's not a fad. This is something that's been very important to a lot of businesses getting started, a lot of philanthropy, a lot of charitable. One of the great things about a crowdfunding platform like Fundraiser is that we make it really easy for the project in whatever form, be it entrepreneurial or charitable or community or even personal, to reach out and build community support for what their projects are by using social media. So using Facebook and Twitter and others to bring people in, tell them the story, and then help collect money from them so that they can become a supporter of the cause and also an advocate for that cause.
Now, from the perspective of equity equity crowdfunding or offering memorandum exemptions, does that fit into what Fundraiser does?
It's a great question. No, it doesn't. We are all about the rewards and donations model in crowdfunding, where people are not selling shares in their company, but particularly with the rewards model, where they're using crowdfunding to help get pre-revenue in to fund the growth of their business without having to give away ownership in it.
If there's an entrepreneur here that wants to set up an online venture, wants to fundraise, wants to crowdfund the money, what's the one piece of advice you would give them?
Prepare, prepare, and prepare. Most people think of crowdfunding as a relatively simple activity. They're just getting started on it. They want to kind of slam it up and get going. I want the money now. But the most successful campaigns are the ones that take the time to plan, to understand what they need to do, understand their consumer and the market and community they're trying to build, and then execute that plan. Otherwise, they tend to fail rather quickly and rather embarrassingly.
And I agree 100%. I don't think we can downplay the compliance costs, the legal, the accounting, the portal, registration fees. There's a lot of compliance effort.
There is. And, you know, in our world, fortunately, there isn't, in that the donations and reward is relatively unregulated. But on the equity side, where I can speak for National Crowdfunding Association side, there is a ton of work there. And we need to make sure that people are paying attention to those costs, but more importantly, making sure that they do the work that they need to do to have a proper offering and are transparent with their potential investors of what's really going on in their business.
Daryl, thanks for your thought and your insight. I appreciate it.
I really appreciate it. It's been great talking with you.
I'm with Ammar Nijjar. Ammar is the president and CEO of R2 Crowd. He just spoke on a panel called Hot Vertical Real Estate Crowdfunding, an Emerging New Asset Class. MR, what are the three things that you want the attendees of your presentation to take away from what you had to say today?
As an investor, the three things that I would like you to know is that making sure that the portals that you invest in, the credibility of the people involved, their affiliations within the industry, their experience within the industry is one of the biggest things that you need to look at beyond the due diligence at the property level. And then you need to look at what has been their successful track record on the portal and off the portal in the past. And from a sponsor side, I would say that a sponsor who's looking to raise capital through a portal needs to look at similar things, but at the same time, they need to understand what is the distribution channel, what kind of investors these portals have, and what is their expertise and what kind of infrastructure they have to move the product in a quick, fast, efficient manner.
MR, why real estate? Why is real estate a good fit for crowdfunding?
Robert, as you probably listened in our panel, the predictability of cash flows, the ease of understanding and analyzing the rent rolls, the cash flows, the financial statements, the predictability of that assessment within the real estate as an asset class when you're trying to underwrite it against the risk-reward balance is a lot easier and it's a lot more predictable compared to the other asset classes. Beyond that bricks and mortar, let's drive to that plaza, take a look at it, how it looks like. It's in my neighborhood or I grew up around it. I understand it. So all of those collectively make real estate predictable asset class, and it's performed better than any other asset class over the last 20 years. Interest rates have been going down every year. Sponsors will lock up their debt, which is 70% of the capital, to 5 or 10 years. So if you are investing in a project right now, the majority of the debt on that has been locked up at a very low interest rate of 2.5% to 3.5% for a very long period of time. So all of that collectively gives you a lot of comfort when investing in real estate vis-a-vis other asset classes.
MR, if I wanted to make an investment tonight in crowdfunded real estate, what's the number one thing I should consider?
If you're comfortable with the risk and the return balance of that particular investment, you should make sure that you know of the area, know of the location, and also hopefully know of the property. You can see the drone videos, you can do all the due diligence at the property level online, and you have to again make sure that the platforms are registered with the Securities Commission. They are entitled to do the business, and these days you can do a lot of Googling to find out who are the people running the portal, because there are people running these robo portals. So ultimately it's about people. Technology is a huge enabler, but ultimately it boils down to people who are behind that business.
Ammar, I couldn't agree more. Thank you for your time and your insights.
Thank you, Robert.
So that is it from the floor of the Canadian Crowdfunding Summit 2016 downtown Toronto. Hope you enjoyed this special production of the Profit Business Cast. Sure is an interesting time in the Canadian alternative financing landscape. Check out the other episodes at profitguide.com. Watch for future episodes on this subject as we explore it further with some of the entrepreneurs and again with the movers and the shakers. Till next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. You can find a lot more about equity crowdfunding at bennettgold.ca. profitguide.ca. And you can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone. And good night, Mars Discovery District, Toronto. You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold, LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.